I needed a job because I needed money to pay rent, a position most people find themselves in at some point in time. More than that, I wanted to climb on to what I saw as the first rung of adulthood. A career track job that you got business cards for and had to wear a suit to. I wanted to be taken seriously. I was obsessed with doing what I thought I should do because, up to this point, it had worked out pretty well for me. Sitting on a molded plastic chair in the temp agency office, I took the first job they offered me, working in a single-story beige warehouse Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., preparing documents for digitization. This wasn't anywhere near what I'd envisioned, and I was pretty sure I didn't need to wear a suit. But I also didn't want to waste time waiting for someone to call me back about my apparently worthless resume. If nothing else was going to pan out for me, I figured I might as well earn some money. It was June 2006, and I was 22 years old. I'd graduated with honors from the University of Kansas the month before, feeling flush with accomplishment. Since my freshman year of high school, that had been my goal, and I'd assumed that was all I needed to do in order to ensure lifelong success. The formula for life, as I understood it, was you go to college, you get good grades, you graduate, you get a good job, and you live happily ever after, right? Somehow that wasn't working out. I was a rule follower, a syllabus and spreadsheet lover, but now I was adrift without a rubric. I'd written what I thought was a very nice resume and cover letter and sent it in response to no fewer than 53 different job openings located all over the country at nonprofits, ranging from art museums to soup kitchens, all of which I figured would welcome a liberal arts major like myself with open arms. Not a single one called me back, or emailed me back, or even let me know they'd so much as received my application. I was throwing myself against the doors of adulthood, equipped with everything I'd been taught to bring to this stage of life, and no one was answering. Every day I worked at that beige one-story warehouse was a carbon copy of the day before. I opened a dusty green, legal-size file folder, took out the top piece of paper, and pressed it down on the table under my palms, spreading from the center outward, my hands flattening each corner as I went. Next, I checked for staples, which I'd remove like unwanted teeth with a sadistic rip from the metal jaws of my staple remover, heedless of the gaping maw left in its wake. I peeled off post-it notes so old they barely posted anymore and taped them down on all four sides to a blank piece of paper I'd whisk up with my rubber-covered fingertip from a stack in the center of the table. I'd then pick up the second piece of paper from the folder and begin afresh, as if for the first time, until I'd performed this ritual on every single piece of paper in the folder. Then I'd move on to the next folder in my inbox. I sat on a metal folding chair at a plastic folding table with two other women in this windowless, cavernous warehouse. I was just 5 miles from where I'd blissfully spent the past 4 years double majoring in political science and creative writing, which I'd assumed would somehow alchemize into a profession. I'd never quite identified what that profession might be, but I figured that applying for jobs would be like applying for college. Line up all the correct paperwork, check all the right boxes, and get accepted. That's adulthood, right? The warehouse had gray-painted concrete walls, and I couldn't figure out why you'd bother to paint concrete gray, something I had plenty of time to mull over because there was no variation to my days. No additional tasks, nothing to do but get a box of files every morning and sit at my table for 8 hours straightening edges. The two women who worked alongside me were nice enough, and we'd chat as we worked, or I'd listen to NPR on my headphones. I was sinking into depression, and what I can honestly say was ennui. Was this why I'd gotten a BA? Why I'd pulled all-nighters for 4 years to eke out a 4.0? I felt like I was spiraling downward into an abyss that would terminate with me living in my parents' basement, which wasn't even finished, and babysitting their neighbor's kids. See? Ennui. To me, at 22, that sounded like about the worst thing that could happen to a person. I hadn't even lived at my parents' house during summers since my freshman year. I wanted more than anything to be an independent person, a person who could find a job. Adding to my embarrassment and frustration over my failure to launch was the fact that my closest confidant, my boyfriend, Nate, was hired for a real job, a job with a salary that one might list on a resume and that one wouldn't be mortified to admit one did, before we even graduated. I'd been a better student than Nate, with more A's and more extracurriculars, so I seethed with jealousy. He had an internship all of our senior year, which he'd spent more time at than he had studying, and then they'd offered him a full-time position. My internship at the City Arts Center, conversely, had not translated into a job, even though I'd applied for their entry-level administrative assistant position. I'd spent more time studying, a strategy I was starting to question now that I was so raw with envy as I toiled in a warehouse at a plastic folding table. I felt duped. No one had warned me about this postgraduate purgatory of being educated but inexperienced and unqualified to do, well, really anything.